Good morning. This talk was originally entitled Reflections and Projections, which I was very happy with. I was like, oh, that's catchy. Now, as many of you know, I live with another UU minister, which is truly a blessing because we each have a sounding board that we can use to see how our initial ideas begin to land. So I shared reflections and projections and was smartly met with, reflections from who? Projections of what? I'm not hooked. You're trying to convince me it'll be worth it to drag myself out of bed on a Sunday morning, potentially away from a sunny morning. She hadn't seen the weather report. What are you going to reflect and project about? Convince me that whatever you're going to go on about is worth my time. It's really good to have a marketing person on my personal steering committee. So I thought, and I switched the title to, Does Prairie Really Need a Minister? Because A, I know that this has been a source of some contentious debate over the years, and B, y'all just renewed my contract, so I know that I've done at least well enough over the course of my first year that you haven't decided to run me out of Dodge. So now that I've got you here, what I had really envisioned this morning being about was a bit of a State of the Union style update. I think it's a good idea every once in a while to stop hacking our way through the underbrush and climb up a tree to see how far we've come together and to consider what we might have learned along the way so far and to make sure we're still pointed in generally the same direction as we thought we wanted to go when we began our journeys. As another reminder, or perhaps for the first time if you're newer here, in addition to this being coming up the end of the first year of my time with you at Prairie, this was also my first year as a minister. So not only was I trying to learn about you and your needs, but I myself have been trying to determine what is a minister called to do in these times? And now that I've earned the title, who am I actually as a minister? What does my ministry actually look like in practice now that I've moved on from being an apprentice to actually having taken on the yoke of ministry? So before I tell you what I've learned about this community, or I think I've learned about this community, I'll spend just a minute telling you some things that I think I've learned about myself over this past year. The first thing that I think that I've come to learn, and this will probably be an ongoing thing, is that I am actually a minister. I did my formation, I had lots of personal changes going on in my life, and a pandemic hit, and so I didn't get to have my graduation from seminary, and I had to postpone my ordination. And I didn't get to walk with the people. There's usually a thing at General Assembly, which was supposed to be in Milwaukee, but that got canceled. They're supposed to be able to walk with the new incoming folks. So I didn't have some of those rituals, which are really important in human life, to realize, hey, I've graduated high school. I am now on to the next. I've graduated college. I've gotten married. All these rituals, like, really ground us in who we are. So I got some of it. I was ordained and et cetera. But it really took coming into this, and like I missed my 50th birthday because I was alone, isolated in a room. So like it didn't feel like I turned 50. The rituals really help. There are markers in our lives. So I think in taking on the role and having y'all be my mirror, I've had enough experiences where I've finally gotten to say like, oh, I am a minister, and I'm doing it, and it's okay, and I haven't broken anything yet, I don't think, I hope. So that's been helpful, to be able to see myself as a minister. The second thing I've learned, which I wondered about, and I'm happy to report, is that I've learned that I have developed enough skill and confidence over the years to be willing to willingly lean into conflict as needed. one of the roles of a minister and one of the things that was, I'm going to talk about, one of the things the community said it was looking for in when you were discerning a minister was someone that could help with conflict. Now this community gets on real well, and I know you've wrestled with some really challenging things, and there's been some bruises along the way, but in general, this community does a really good job dealing with conflict. Not perfect. I also have become aware of a lot of conflicts that were just put under the surface and still sit there and still impact our ability to move forward together, and I'm going to work on those as we continue on. But I've learned that I fear not those conversations. I am not afraid of conflict, and I am willing to step into the breach because that is important, that I help this community heal wounds or even avoid wounds before they happen so that we can all move forward fully together. I've learned that, or I've been reminded of the importance of covenant in a community like this. And I led my time here with pulling out your covenant. You've probably heard me say covenant until I'm blue in the face, and you're probably sick of me hearing me say it. But I've learned that I still have work to do on covenant. I've brought people together. I've noticed some frictions happening, and I've said, hey, stop, whoa, whoa, whoa. Our covenant tells me that it's my job to notice these things and to pull these things out. Not just me, a member of this community. There's a note in our covenant that says we will bring things together. And I've found as I did that, it was helpful to bring people together before a couple of bumps turned into a couple of bruises and maybe something worse. But I found out that I still do have some work to do. It is a living document. It is a document that can help us remember how we want to be together in a community. And I found when I've pulled different parties together that were bumping into each other, and I've said we're going to ground in covenant, I found myself not having the strength in the moment to be willing to really sit and to dig into that covenant and to look at the words and to, like, I just sort of say, remember we have covenant, and then I've had conversations. So I am still practicing using that covenant. I think becoming a member of a community like this is similar to taking the vows of marriage. You have found a relationship that you are considering. The relationship, the parties seem to have a lot of things in common. You think, I might be better if I hitch my wagon to this person, and the community thinks, yeah, that might be true. And so we decide to make commitments to each other. That is, the covenant is similar to a marriage covenant. And sometimes we fall down, right? But just as in a marriage, every day isn't perfect. The idea of covenanting and promising to each other is to say, we both know that we are imperfect coming in together. And when we mess up, we are promising to keep coming back together over and over and over again to continue to work to try to get that. So you've heard me talk about covenant forever. I think it is the basis of a community like this. It is the glue that holds us together. And I am still working on helping to facilitate and helping to embed that covenant into the ways of everything that is done here. I've come to recognize that I don't fully trust my voice yet. It's a little scary to get up here. I actually never have minded talking in front of you, which is a little off, because there's not a single person in this room that probably completely agrees with everything that the person next to them agrees to, right? We have these ideals, these high-minded ideals, which Rick spoke about. We have all these ideals of peace and liberty and justice and shared for all. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about how there really is, it's really a hard thing to say when you say we're searching for truth and meaning. Truth, especially in this postmodern age, has become a very shifting topic. And so as I think about what I'm going to say and what I'm going to share and how much is too much, that's part of my leading edge as a minister, is to say, how much do I put my neck on the line? How much do I push this group? How much, you know, how much is too much? You know, they're hearing into things in the news, like, do I need to reinforce? If I don't hold something up in the news, have I been too quiet? So that's something I'm still working on. All that to say, my first year here, as I set out an intention at the beginning, was really to just begin to develop relationships and for us to begin to learn to trust each other. And coming in, I thought it was really just about helping you to come to trust me. But along the way, I've learned it's also about me developing trust in you and trust in myself. And I think that is work that we are all doing, especially newer folks that come into this space. Is this a community that is safe for me to be in? Is this a community that I can actually genuinely bring my whole self, my perfect self, my imperfect self, my hurting self, my shamed self, my vulnerable self? And we're working on expanding that as well. And I've also learned what my process is and to trust my process. I live with a minister who has a very different style, and she's very strong, and she does a lot of things really well. But I've learned that I have a very different style, and I am strong, and I do things differently and well. Each minister approaches this role in a different way. And as my ministry has come into focus, I've continued to be drawn back to the concepts of religious naturalism, because this really does seem to align most closely with my most natural way of being in the world. I believe that as humans, we are part of the natural world. And I believe that natural systems all obey just certain laws and work naturally within the bounds that are set by the environment in which we find ourselves. So as nature seems to do, my inclination is to throw a bunch of seeds into the wind and allow them to follow the path of least resistance and find a resting place, and to have those seeds that have been fortunate enough to land in fertile ground hopefully begin to sprout. So that brings me to the transition point from my learnings into this community. The soil in which the seeds we are all trying to plant are trying to take hold and develop roots and unfold leaves and hopefully bloom into a collective beauty. Now again, before I arrived, you were wrestling with the same question I was. What is a minister? What does a minister do in a community? And what do we want this minister to do specifically in this community? Now, it was good you use. You did a lot of surveys. You had a lot of conversations. You wrote a lot of words on pages, and you had a lot of things. And you aligned and you prioritized, all good things to do. And it was interesting, because your identified needs pretty well align with the competencies that your board, your newly forming committee on ministry, and my mentor are all busy crafting reports to the ministerial fellowship committee on. You see, my first 3 years in UU ministry are basically a trial period. The community or communities I serve report back to this ministerial evaluative body, and they then determine if I am fit for ministry. I had to get through the hurdle first. I don't know if you know this, but Unitarian Universalism is deemed perhaps the hardest association denomination to get into ministry in. The hurdles that we set for the bar for our ministers is higher than any other denomination. And it continues on after we become ministers. I've got a 3-year trial period, and then I've got ongoing things that I need to continue to do. So for as long as I am here, I hope you'll remember, my future as a minister is in your hands. You are teaching me. You are evaluating me. So as part of this process, I thought we could take a look at the few of the things we've done together since I arrived and see how we're doing. So as I said, you've come up with a list of things you wanted a minister to prioritize. When your board president, Rachel, and I met early on, we realized that your priorities were pretty much exactly aligned with the competencies that I'm going to be evaluated on. So as I begin to meet with your new board, I'm going to suggest that these ministerial competencies might form at least part of the ends outcomes that Prairie is striving to improve upon as you seek to live out your collective mission, even before we do that mission and vision work which we've been hinting around about. So the first thing those surveys and words you put on a page about what you thought you wanted a minister to do, 68 of the respondents or the respondents that were collected said, the number one thing is more pastoral care. Pastoral care, taking care of people that need some care. So I've tried to meet at least once with everyone, and I may have missed some folks in the database. I just want people to know that I'm here, and I want to reach out to people that haven't been coming for a while, and I want to get to know the people that I see every week. So I've gone to homes, and I've met at coffee shops, and I've really tried to get out. And I remember several people have said, "Wow, we've had several ministers. You're the first person that's ever come to my house." I found that to be shocking. Yeah, maybe that's just because I'm full time and I've got a little bit more time in my schedule. So I've held folks through health issues, through family member passings, through work challenges, through personal challenges, and more. A mentor said to me, "If you ever think you've run out of things to preach about, just make some more pastoral care calls." And that has really been the truth. It's really been my conversations with you all, both individually and in some incredible small groups, which I'm going to highlight in a minute, that has become my most trusted source of deciding what we should talk about next. The next thing that you listed on your want needs for the minister was to deliver Sunday programs, and that aligns with my competency of worship and rites of passage. My greatest hope there was not to come in and change what you do, but to take some of the burden off the program committee, which this is a lot of work to put on a show every week, right? So claps to the folks on the program committee. And so hopefully my presence here, standing here, has taken some of the burden off the program committee to have to find more speakers. But while hopefully maintaining that balance, which I've heard is very valued, about between Prairie leaders speaking, community presenters speaking, and now adding in a minister to the mix. So props to the program and hospitality committees, because it takes a village to do that for sure. The next thing you said you'd like is help organizing programs and drawing from area resources. So I've tried to attend all the program meetings and listen to feedback and contribute to conversations. Y'all have a great group of really well-connected folks working hard to provide you with quality programming each week. I've offered a few ideas for new elements, like a rotating opening. Again, feedback that we got, please, here's some things that you might add. And I've introduced some ideas of a monthly theme, and the program committee is looking at some different things. But one thing I've learned early on, both here and at other places, is don't move the cheese too fast. Wait a minute, that's not how we do that every year. It's like this, it's not like that. You'd be surprised at how much a little change is a big change, because this is something that this place is, this and what happens here is something that people look forward to and begin to like draw comfort from, because they know what to expect. So slow and steady with that. The next thing you said you wanted was presence in the community, a public face and a profile. My focus has been mostly internal to this community this year, but I showed up where I could when called, just a small smattering of things to share. I bore witness at the tragedy in that parade back in Waukesha. I showed up with a bunch of clergy, and I saw a whole town come out that had just been devastated. Went from joy to tragedy overnight when that person went driving through that parade. It reminded me how quickly that illusion that we all have of safety and security and everything's going to be like it was yesterday can just go like a blink of an eye. A community like this is the kind of container that can hold that. We can hold each other when those things happen. I was honored to be a contributor, blessed at Pride Fest last weekend, where the LGBTQ community comes out and celebrates the liberation of work that's been done. And we offered blessings, and I was reminded at how much work there is still needed to be done. People come from some of the places in this state where they're not so welcomed yet, and they are hurt and they are broken and they are scared and in many cases traumatized. And a simple blessing to say, you are here and I see you and you are worthy of love. It's remarkable how much a simple little thing at a fair, at a booth at a fair can do for people. And I've connected with local Madison interfaith and nonprofit leaders and begun to develop connections. So I'd like to give also props to the Social Justice Committee. Pam, thank you. And I know Molly, this is just a little teaser for next year. Molly, who you receive a lot of those updates about what's going on, has decided to step back and focus on other efforts, which it's very healthy for volunteers in a community like this to do. And I told Pam, and Pam started to pull in a couple more people. I said, all right, let's take a breath for the summer. We'll keep letting people know what's going on, but let's think about how we're going to do social justice here at Prairie as part of that whole mission and vision, and what do we do here as a community. So more stuff coming with social justice. You're looking forward, you said, teach us to be better at leading and other congregational roles. So I talked about the covenant work. I've helped the board implement some new practices. We had a really healthy board this year, and we tackled some big issues, but we did it in a sense of being grounded in that covenant and continually trying to get better. The board did an amazing job this year, and I'm grateful for them. There's another thing that we did in terms of leading and other congregational roles. I announced and started a study group on the Article II Commission, which, if you haven't heard about it, the principles that many in this room know about are part of the Article II section of the UUA bylaws. The UUA is the association that holds all of these disparate congregations together. And every 20 years or so, they want to look at those because ours is a faith that says revelation is not sealed. We need to constantly look and see how life has changed. And so there is a group of people that has been elected by the congregations to look at those words and say, are they up to date? And it's a multi-year process. They're talking to a lot of different entities. And as part of support to that, I put together a group. I offered classes. It's an 8-week session. It was a big commitment. That group is talking about some hard issues and really digging into some stuff. And along the way, as small groups doing that kind of work always does, developing some really tight bonds and trust, because people are sharing, this is what I hear when I hear that, and this I struggle with, and this I want to bring, and et cetera. So that's been great. I think you'll see a big focus on that in the upcoming year. Except that's one of the places where I didn't feel anything, so we'll see what happens. Next thing you said you wanted was adult RE groups, educate and stimulate us. Along the idea of that religious naturalism and kind of letting the energy flows where it goes, I started out offering something I called Matt's Chats, which were just drop-ins to say, hey, if you want to come in and get to know me, let's see who shows up and see what shows up. And as people came together and I heard topics and I saw things, I started spinning off things. We developed a covenant group. There are 9 people that showed up and said, yeah, we'd like to get together more often and more consistently and form a group and start to talk. And those groups, I'm doing on time, I talk for a long time. That group has gone so deep and has connected so tightly. It just, for me, I've been told that small groups are the glue that really are necessary to help a community like this really build and to have places where people can plug in when they're new. That has sold me 100% on that. We get the Article 2 group, we've got the Spiritual Practices Discussion group, and we have a Widening the Circle group that was here before I got here. Each of these and more, I mean, there's the WOW group, there's the crafting group, there's all kinds of groups. I know there are amazing conversations that happens in these places, and shifts have been made, and relationships are either newly formed or intentionally strengthened. I was asked for greeting, welcoming before and after services. We've welcomed new members, and you've even grown during pandemic. I mean, that's huge. So many congregations that I'm aware of have lost members in this time because it was viewed as the staff keeps things going and we just show up and then we go home. This community owns this community. This community says we are the community, and if we want it to be a thing, we show up and we roll up our sleeves and we do it. And when you have that level of commitment, doesn't matter what's happening in the world and whatever, people keep showing up because that is the expectation. And I wanted to make sure as I came in as a minister, I may help, but I don't want to take things away because the ownership of this place is amazing. Coordinate staff functioning, coordinate among committees under administration. It wasn't in my original contract, but along the way, you allowed me to take over staff management. I've gotten a chance to work with Alice. We've worked on a lot of things. It was a pandemic year, stops and starts, and she was newer in the role. I think we're getting better and better each day, and I'm really looking forward to planning for next year. You have a longtime administrator, Dan, who's been here 10 years and knows how everything works. And life circumstance pulled him away. He had to move 2.5 hours to move home. We figured out how to do that remotely. And we told him we'd hang on for as long as we could and that eventually we needed to get someone in person. I think over this summer, I'm going to start the advertising process. We've developed a hiring process to try to be as equitable as possible in our selections, including where we advertise, uncovering potential biases in our hiring committee. And once we launch that, I feel confident that we'll find a new person and help Dan move on to his next thing. And I took over the management of Raju, who is the person that takes care of the building and the grounds. He's also been here for 10 years and really needs very little. He just needs, like, you know, I need this, give me some resources. He's amazing. Finally, under this bullet, your vice president of your board, Lynn Curry, and I are planning to coordinate a series of leadership meetings for committee chairs next year to help facilitate cross-functional conversations, just continuing to get more and more people talking to us about important things. All right, how am I doing? All right, well, I do have a lot here. Okay. You said you want a leader inside and outside Prairie for social action. And although, as I said, my focus this year is primarily internally at Prairie, there's some things that I've done that you should be aware of. And this is the big one that I'll share. I recently accepted a personal invitation to become part of the Clergy Care Network, which sounds like an innocuous little thing. But this is an unfortunate historical entity that is, it's unfortunate because it's had to be revived, that helped to open the first legal abortion clinic in New York City. And once Roe passed, they had handed off all their resources. And as I said, it has had to reemerge from the ashes as we see continued assaults on Roe versus Wade, finally gaining enough traction that there is a clear risk that the Supreme Court may reverse 50 years of precedence shortly. And as part of this effort, again, revising what existed 50 years ago, we will basically become a part of an underground railroad for women that need access to safe and effective care as local governments work to further restrict a woman's right to choose the healthcare options that are right for her. Yeah. All Number 10, you said, we want interfacing with UUA and other UUs in the area. Bring that back to us. I have been helpful and instrumental and an attendee at a gathering of Madison ministers, UU ministers, which I think had fallen off. There's now two serving at First U, and we have Karen over at Reeb. I got to be a presenter during the co-installation ceremony for those two ministers at First. Part of the discussions, what can I do? What can Prairie do? How can we begin to get more connected? One of the ideas that we've come up with that I'm going to pursue is to create a forum for lay leaders to come together, and maybe we could be the hub for that for all these different places. If you have ideas of how we can connect to the other communities, please let me know. We'll try to bring those together. I was elected to be a chaplain at General Assembly for the ministers and whoever needs chaplain support. There are sometimes hurt feelings. There are sometimes conversations that go hard. I've been asked to be a chaplain at GA. And I was selected by the UUMA region to serve on the nominating committee next year. We all got to do the work, and thank you to the nominating committee. I know that it is not easy work, so I'll be joining you in that at a different place. All right. Only two more. I was asked to work on conflict resolution, and that is the covenant work, and I am still learning, and I'm just grateful of the covenant that you all created. The last one was ceremonies and memorials. Thankfully, we haven't lost too many folks this year. Again, props to the caring committee for holding so much for so long without a minister. It was the people of this community that had to be the vessel that held. Yes, to the caring committee. Yes. You can stand up. Can we get some recognition of who's on the caring committee? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. I know we're missing, what's that? And finally, to that, I also worked on the team that revamped the Southern Wisconsin Minister Gatherings to be more focused on learning and development rather than just colleague connection. I think that goes earlier. Okay. So, along the way of doing all that work, not surprisingly, but it's come in stark relief that because we are UUs, I recognized in talking to people that there's some that think I'm moving too slowly, there are some that think I'm moving way too quickly, and there's some that think I'm moving at just the right pace. So that's, I think, a constant negotiation. This is a place with a proud history. One group I haven't had a chance to meet with yet is the Archive Committee. I am grateful for all the work that they did before I got here because I was able to read this history, which told me who you are, who you claim to be. Now, of course, I had to test that, and I found that you were pretty honest about who you are and what you are. You are a caring people that shows up to care for each other. And you have some strong leaders with very clear ideas about what we might do together to make this world a better place. So as I look to the future, I am so excited to continue serving this community in the coming years. I'm also excited to see what I wrote because I haven't had a chance to look at this part. I have learned that a minister's first year really is about setting a good foundation through relationships. And I've said from the beginning, and now I believe it to be true, next year is when the real work really begins. A community like this needs to be efficient. There's not enough extra resources in the system, and there's a lot of work to do, and so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have much wasted effort. And the board recognized that it's been a while, and as often needs to happen in organizations like this, has charged the next board with looking at the mission and vision and bond of union that help guide the efforts. And they may not change at all. Those things are supposed to be pretty timeless. but they may change. They may shorten. We may come up with some taglines that just make it easier. Again, just a checkup to make sure that we are focusing on the right things. Should we double down on this idea of our community and looking inside and taking care of ourselves? Should we widen? Should we increase our social justice focus? Should we improve our skills in connecting with others that appear to be different from us in one way or the other? You said you want to grow, and as I said, my first year was really about relationships and trust, and now the real work begins. I think one of the most important things we're going to learn together and explore together and struggle through together next year as we begin to think about this mission and vision of what this place is all about is, I mentioned earlier, that search for truth has become a really interesting thing in a postmodern world. A faith tradition that grounded itself on an individual search for truth and meaning kind of had an assumption all those years ago when that was made, that there is an ultimate truth. And what we are learning as we bump into things where we go, well, wait, you think that, but I think that. Well, but mine's true too, but they're different. What we've learned is that truth is very different depending on your position. And so we have to learn how to reconcile those disparities. Things that we once considered to be beacons of truth have become shattered. And if you think this is a new phenomenon, I'll challenge you on that. If this denomination, well, it would have been Unitarianism or Universalism in the past, in the 1800s, the early 1800s, had literally taken a vote count to say, should slavery still be allowed or should it not, slavery would have won. If we had looked at segregation, should we continue on with segregation or should we not in the 1950s? At that point, segregation would have won the vote. If we had asked the question, should gay folks be able to marry in the 1960s? That answer would have been no in this denomination. Those answers are different now only because trailblazers said, wait a minute, that's not right, and poked and poked and poked at the system and the people until they said, okay, well, maybe, but still, I don't know about, but yeah, and poked and poked and poked until the light of revelation came on and said, oh, maybe there is a wider truth than I've acknowledged. What happens when you allow for or you hold up an individual search for truth and meaning is that the mores of current social acceptance actually become your beacons of truth. But as I've just discussed, those beacons can be really shifting when you realize that those truths are formed by our position. I was listening to the Berry Street Lecture from 2019 by one of my professors, Leslie Takahashi, on the way here. And she shared an image of broken shards of glass that can be turned into a mosaic. But the first thing you have to do that and to make that beauty is to find a way to safely pick up those sharp shards and not cut yourselves along the way. As you begin to figure out how to make those shards of difference together so that you can create the next beautiful thing. And I think that's part of the work that we're going to be doing in the coming years. All right, I've gone on for a while, but the next year I'm really going to continue to focus on small group ministry. I've been told that this is the way to grow a church. This is the way to strengthen a church from the inside out. You've proven to me you had stuff in place. I've seen it now myself. Small group ministry is the way to develop tight connections between smaller groups of people within this tent And then also to give people places to land in when they say, here I am, what do I do, who can I connect with? Oh, there's a group over here that does that. There's a group over here that does that. We're going to work on leadership developments and onboarding, and how do we take a new person that shows up and help them get in, you know, figure out how does this place work, and can I volunteer my time here, and okay, now I know how it works. Oh, let's be on the board. We're going to strengthen policies and procedures. That's one of those boring things that I actually kind of like, but it just helps so that everybody knows how the system works and can bring their own flair, and they can change as they go, but to have a set point so that we're all pulling in the same direction. And that'll all be part of new member onboarding and connection. I'll continue to try to connect Prairie to the wider Madison community. And I have a personal goal. I've not shared it with anybody, but I'm going to say it out loud here because this is going to be my goal. I'm aware of one person, and only one person. There may be more as I become more aware, I'll do. But I'm aware of one person that for whom my presence, my very presence, just calling a minister, and then some of the conversations she heard the community saying, led to turn away. My personal goal, your goal, one of the stated goals you've said is we want to grow this place so that we can share the message and get more people helping to help it rise. My personal goal is to not lose anybody along the way as we continue to have hard conversations, and whenever possible, bring anybody back into this flock that said, it's not for me right now. My goal will be to make that person that walked away not only come back, but also to view me as their minister and to be the person that they turn to when they're having a hard time. Now, you may say that is Pollyanna, and how are you possibly going to do that? I've got history with this. I worked at a place one time, and the strongest person on the team clearly had it out for me from day one and kept rolling the bus back over me as I was trying to get stuff done and said bad things about me and didn't want to work with me. And I just kept trying to take the high road. Well, I respect you. I want to make this happen. 10 years, this person tried to cut my knees out from under me. And then finally, there was leadership changes. We had to work together. We did some things. She kept seeing how I led, how I did my thing. And then the last year of our working together, she said, can we go out to lunch? I said, yes. And she said, I have to tell you something. And I knew what she was going to tell me because somebody told me this in year 7. She said, you reminded me exactly of my ex-husband from the moment I met you. And I didn't like you. And I was committed to not liking you. And you kept showing up, and you kept trying to do the right thing, and I kept seeing you do the right thing, and I couldn't hold the disparity between my belief about you and what I kept seeing over and over again. And now we're friends, and now we're colleagues, and I sent her a request for some materials that I think she could help me with. So it is possible, it takes time, it takes intention. My personal thing is always take the high road. The view is always clearer, and eventually people want to come up and join you on the view. So that's my personal goal. We'll see if it can happen. All right, I've gone on for a long time. I know we've got kids waiting. As I begin to wrap up here, we'll be moving into our usual time of discussion. What I'd really love to hear from some folks is, what have you learned this year about yourself, about life, but what's happening in our world, and how you might contribute to our collective betterment. Because ultimately, I think that's what this is all about. If you and I are the same people we were when we came back together on August 1st, then neither of us is doing our jobs very well. But I don't think that's the case. I've seen some profound shifts in people, especially those participating in groups I've been able to participate in. So that's what I'd love to hear about from you now when we go into our discussion. And then I'm going away for a bit, and so I'll leave you a question to ponder this summer. What in this world is still keeping you up at night? What things feel out of control in your world right now? And what small things can you, as a part of this community, begin to work on that will help to ensure both the health and happiness for both yourself, your family, your friends, this community, the wider community, and the world at large. That's where the words I wrote end. The kids are obviously chomping at the bit. Blessed be, and may it be so. Thank you for this year, everyone. Thank you.